Thank you, Wyman, for leading us in those songs. Let's remember our young people in our prayers tonight as they're away from us. We really miss them when they're not all down front here, and they're just a tremendous encouragement, I think, to all of us here in the congregation. And I appreciate so many of you this morning picking up those pictures at the back, being willing to get involved personally with one or more of our young people here in this congregation. If you'll open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2, and we want to look through these seven churches one last time. I never study these seven churches of Asia, but what I wonder what it would be like had Jesus written a letter to the church here at Sunset. What things might he say to us? Good? Bad? I thought about asking our elders to come up with a list of praiseworthy items that they see, or items that would include areas where we need to grow, maybe make a list of pros and cons, of strengths and weaknesses from their perspective. But to do a fair job in such an analysis, anyone who would write a letter to Sunset like these that we find here in these opening chapters of the book of Revelation would have to know both the hearts and the minds of all who comprise this congregation. And only Jesus is capable of sifting the hearts of men and doing or providing an accurate diagnosis of any church. So I don't want to be presumptuous, but at the same time I would like for us to do an assessment of ourselves. And I think that's perhaps the best way to do this. And so I want to ask you tonight to think and to reflect and to do a little bit of a self-assessment as we look one more time, one last time, at these seven churches. I suspect that it would be somewhere in this composite of churches that we might find ourselves. We might be a dead ringer for one of the seven. I don't know that that's the case. I think we're more likely a blend of two or more of the congregations that are assessed here by Jesus. As we do this, I want you to just ask yourself the question, where do you think Sunset fits into the mix? Who are we most like of these seven churches? Now, if you'll remember in our study, five of the churches had major problems. Things that Jesus pointed out that were wrong. He urged repentance. He even threatened that they would be removed if they didn't repent with some of the situations there. One of the churches that had problems was the first one that we looked at, the church in Ephesus. It was a church that was a faithful congregation. In fact, they prided themselves in how faithful they were to the Word. They were orthodox, but Jesus said, "You've lost your first love." They were straight as an arrow, but they lacked that one essential component, which was love. The real tragedy, anytime you find a church like that, that is very legal about doing everything just right, but are missing that component of love, they tend to become legalistic churches. Very often, when a group has a zeal for this kind of doctrinal purity without love, they tend to alienate others who tend to run to the opposite end of the spectrum. And I think you'll see in cases where there is a strong sense of legalism in a church, there will be a reaction to that which gives birth to the opposite end of the spectrum, which is liberalism. You wouldn't think it, but the two go hand in hand. Legalists give birth to liberals. Wherever you have this kind of loveless church, like Ephesus, you'll also find a love is all that matters, throw doctrine out the window, opposite reaction to that. So, I would just ask you, are we like that? Are we like that church in Ephesus? I don't think so. I don't think so. Or are we like the church in Pergamum and Thyatira? Those two churches had the same kind of problem. They were churches that were very broad-minded. They were very tolerant. But Jesus said they were unwilling to take a stand for the truth. You know, it's not wrong to take a stand for the truth. In fact, we must take a stand for the truth, but we must demonstrate love in the process. Pergamum and Thyatira only wanted to accentuate the positive. They apparently shied back from confronting things that were wrong right in their midst, things that were glaring errors. And yet, nobody would stand up and take a stand on those matters. Pergamum and Thyatira were filled with apparently very worldly kinds of Christians. They operated what today we might call a Christian country club type of approach to Christianity. They were the kinds of churches where most of the folks wouldn't really know what they believed. They wouldn't have any strong convictions. Others didn't really believe what they believed, and the rest didn't practice what they believed. So it was just sort of a very lax kind of an atmosphere where tolerance became the key word. Now, are we like that? I'm going to let you do these assessments. In your own mind, you decide. Is that the way we are? Are we like the church in Sardis? The Sardis church was simply an empty shell of a church. They had a name, a great name, a name that they were a church that was on fire and alive. The lights were on, but Jesus said no one's home. They were simply going through the motions. Lots of activity, but no soul. They had drifted into a lethargy and sleep that was dangerous to the souls of that congregation. Are we like the church in Laodicea? It was the last of the churches to receive criticism from Jesus, and it was criticized because of its lukewarmness. It was too cold to boil and too warm to freeze. This was that wealthy, comfortable, self-satisfied church, probably the largest of all the churches that Jesus wrote to. These were folks where you couldn't really get them off the fence. They were just middle ground, lukewarm kind of folks. Kind of like the guy who was at a meeting in Kansas, and when the preacher confronted him, he said, "No, I don't want to go to hell, but I don't want to go to heaven either. I want to just stay here in Kansas." They didn't want to do anything there in Laodicea. And so I ask, you know, are we a church like that? Could it be that we are grown lukewarm in our approach? Or maybe we're like those two healthy churches in Smyrna and in Philadelphia. Jesus wrote to Smyrna and he said, "Keep on being faithful." Well, what a wonderful message. Imagine Jesus writing to us here at Sunset and saying, "You folks, just keep on keeping on. Keep on doing what you've been doing." Or the church in Philadelphia where Jesus said, "You have kept my commands. God bless you. You're faithful in carrying out the commands and apparently the attitude and the love and all that goes with those commands." These churches were loving churches. They were faithful congregations. They were faithful doctrinally. They were faithful in their conduct and the way they treated each other. And they get the commendation from Jesus because of that. Is that where we are? You know, this congregation is made up of individuals, and we all contribute to the character of this congregation. None of us can rest on the reputation of this church or any church. Each one of us is a component that brings something either good or something that is lukewarm or something that is not good to the total makeup and composition of the congregation at large. And so I want to ask you again a question that I asked a couple of weeks ago. What kind of church would Sunset be if everyone was exactly like me? And I want you to seriously think about that. What if everyone worked as hard as you work in one of the ministries or activities or volunteer programs of this congregation? What if everybody put as much into it as you currently put into it? What would it be like? What would it be like if everyone was exactly as generous as you are in your giving? What would it be like if everyone was as faithful in their attendance? What would it be like if everyone demonstrated the same kind of love that you demonstrate? What would it be like if everyone had the same level of commitment to Scripture that you have? Well, what kind of church are we? What might Jesus have to say were he to come here to Sunset? I think that question is best answered by each one of us individually as we look at our own lives. I can't say for sure what Jesus would say, but I feel like after having been here for 16 years that I've got a pretty good idea of the status of this congregation. It's hard for me to be objective like it is for you because we're all a part of this congregation together. And I love this church dearly. And there is a lot that is praiseworthy. And I'm convinced that were Jesus to write a letter, that he could easily begin with a series of commendations for this congregation. Any of you that have been here any length of time know that this has been an exciting ride to be on. It's been exciting to be part of this church as several milestones have been reached. And there has been significant growth in the history of this congregation in a variety of areas. In the area of missions, there has been continual growth and expansion. In our giving, there has been continual growth and expansion. This is one of the most generous congregations I've ever known. I've never seen in the years here this congregation to ever fall below the budget on an annual basis. Anytime there's been a special need, it's always been met or exceeded. And I just don't typically see that all over. So that there are some wonderful things that have happened and are continuing to happen. I'm grateful for the outreach of this congregation. I'm grateful for what we as a congregation feel about our youth group and the commitments that's been made to our young people here. I'm thrilled that we have seen God take groups of people who've gone out from this church twice now, and we've seen both of those newly planted churches flourish and grow. I'm thrilled that this morning our elders have announced that we want to do it a third time. And there are a few things that make me feel prouder of this congregation than that aspect of our outreach. In almost every measurable indicator, Sunset has grown and moved toward lofty goals and even surpassed those. But herein lies the danger. I wonder if that wasn't how the church in Sardis started out. In those early years, they developed a name, and too soon they paused to catch their breath, and that pause turned into a rest as they rested on their laurels, and they began to coast on their past achievements, upon their past glories, upon their past goals. And you know, I just see danger in that. Not that that's where we are, but I think that that is that could become a real temptation for a congregation like Sunset. And no one is more tempted to count nickels and noses than the preacher and to see goals that are out there and goals that we've achieved. But we've got to remember that that these goals are not an end in and of themselves. I don't think on the day of Pentecost they went out and just set a magic number out there and said, we're going to see if on this first Sunday we can hit 3,000 baptisms on the first day. No, they had a heart and a passion for the gospel that allowed the gospel to spread. And they were thrilled when there was a response like that. But it wasn't just achieving a goal or setting numbers to be arrived at. In the early church, the numbers were a result of a church that was alive and a church that was vibrant and a church that was serious about the commission that God had given them. I don't know many churches out there that are more loving than this church is. And I see evidences of it in a lot of ways. I'm not worried about this church in that department. I see the way people treat each other. I see the way people respond to each other and the needs of this congregation. And I see genuine Christian love being evidenced here. And so I'm not afraid of us being like Ephesus, having grown cold and having lost our first love. I think that if there's any inherent danger, it's being in being wrapped up in ourselves, even though we love. I think the things that Dan Cooper shared with us recently could not be more on target. And I suspect if Jesus were to write us, he would say some of the very same things that Dan Cooper challenged us with about reaching out into our community. We have a wonderful thing going here at Sunset. And it is an attractive thing that takes place right here within this church family. And I think if we could be challenged in any one area, it would be in this area of thinking of ways to share what we have with the community around us, with the lost around us, and doing whatever we can to bring people in to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful for the commitment of several of you, and I hope we can really redouble our efforts in this area of inviting people to come. I met people this morning who were with us, and they were here because of an invitation. I was at a dinner just this last week, and it said that across America, they've polled people with regard to church, and right now there are about 35 million people who said, if we just had an invitation, we would go to church with whoever invited us. I was just shocked. That many people just sitting out there that if someone would invite them, they would go. And I wonder how many of those people are right here in Springfield. And so I would challenge us to redouble our efforts. Dan Cooper gave us some little cards in that mail out that came into our homes that had a list of blanks on it and asked us to write down the names of people that we know that are not Christians that we possibly could have some influence over and begin to pray for those people and begin to look for opportunities to invite them to church, to share the gospel with them. And I hope you've taken that seriously. And I hope we don't let that die. And I hope we can grow as God's people and begin to reach out and make an impact in this community. I think that's what Jesus would challenge us to do. I really do. I know there are areas in which we each individually need to grow. And I know that in each of our lives there are problems that need to be corrected. And that's true as far as the congregation goes. We're not a perfect church. There are areas of where we need to make some changes and grow and do better. And God knows that. And we know that. But I just feel like that there is a lot that is going right here that we need to take advantage of and just capitalize on. This is a great church. And it's made up of great Christians. But we're only great, any of us, to the extent that Jesus Christ is alive in our lives. That we are living a life that reflects His glory and His honor. And that we're passionate about that more than anything else in our life. I love the way that Jesus closes out His letter to these seven churches here in Revelation chapter 3. There at the end of chapter 3, Shane read the verses for us at the beginning. Jesus simply says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." And as we allow Jesus into our lives, an amazing thing happens. He moves from being a guest at our table to being the host at our table. It happens every time. You're the one who initially opens the door to him and he comes in. You invite him in. And then he turns the tables on you. And he becomes the one who is the host. He is the gracious giver. He is the one who blesses. You know what happened every time? Jesus was a guest at that wedding feast in Cana. But before it was over, he was the host. He was the giver. He was the one who blessed. It happened at Emmaus. They were walking down the road. They invited Jesus to come in and eat with them. And he broke the bread. And then he became the one who blessed those men as they realized that it was the risen Savior that was there at table with them. Now, you may be the one who invites him into your heart as a guest, but you will be the one who ends up being treated. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. I pray for this church on a regular basis that we will live up to our potential. I know a few churches that have a greater potential than Sunset does, and I pray that we'll seize the day, seize the opportunity, and be all that we can be, and that our future will only grow as we let Christ live in our lives. If you're here tonight and you need prayers, if you need anything that Jesus offers, whether it be salvation or whether it be the prayers of brothers and sisters, we want to make that opportunity available right now. If you need to come, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.